Hello and welcome to episode 71 of the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Derek.
And I'm Craig. How have you been this week, Derek?
Oh boy, this has not been a good week at all, Craig.
That's no good.
No. Actually, it was just 2 days ago. Yeah, so 2 days ago, I was at work. I picked up a ladder. I carried it to a place. And between when I picked up the ladder and put it down, my back threw itself out. It sprained itself. And so...
That's not nice. Are you sort of like bedridden or...
No, not bedridden. What's the story? I can't pick up anything over 10 pounds.
Does that include Rainy? Where's she at in pounds? I don't know pounds.
That does include Rainy. So that is just not... There's so many problems with this in so many ways. But I'm currently hopped up on painkillers and muscle relaxants. So, you know, we'll see how the show goes. But yeah, it makes all the logistics of parenting so much more difficult when you can't actually pick up your child. And of course, Tanya's still feeling like crap because of the pregnancy. That hasn't really lightened at all. So we're just two pathetic people over here trying to keep a little child alive.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's pathetic. It is pretty hard when you can't. I don't know. Well, like, especially once she's moving around a lot, right? So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which makes it difficult to catch her.
You need to be able to pick them up and redirect them.
Right. Exactly.
Pretty frequently. I even have found that, and Ash is not quite crawling yet, so he kind of commando crawls.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, if I wasn't able to sort of pick him up and set him back on the straight and narrow, I don't know what would happen.
Well, I'm finding that out, you know, right now. Nothing too terribly bad. It's just, you realize, like, once she figures out that, wait, Daddy's not picking me up, maybe I cannot listen to what he's telling me to do. I'm like, oh, crap. All my authority's gone now.
that's called total depravity right there.
That's right. So, anyway... But yeah, this will probably be like a week of this and then I'll be okay. It's just a sprain. It's not like I ruptured a disc or anything that would like put me into surgery or anything. Yeah. So,
But you're off work during that week, right?
Yeah. Basically, yeah. Plus work's a little slow now anyway. So, you know, of all the times for this to happen, this was kind of a good time.
Right. That's good then.
Yeah.
I was going to say, being off work sucks from a financial standpoint. Being home with your family is obviously a good thing.
Yeah.
But... You'd like it to be under better circumstances, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. Plus, I don't really have to worry about the financial aspect of it because I budget. That is a...
Yay!
Makes things so much better.
Do you budget for back sprains?
No. Well, if you take the Dave Ramsey school of budgeting, he'll tell you to do 6 to 12 months of backup finances. So that you can, like, if you sustain disability or something from your job, like, then you have these months of finances to fall back on until you find another job or your disability pay kicks in or, like, your disability insurance kicks in or whatever. But, yeah. So, anyway.
Cool. So, I take it you didn't meet James White this week then?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't get to do that. Why was he in the area? No,
not that I know of. It's just that I've met him and Ben's met him. So yeah, at some stage, I'm guessing it's
just Tank and I left.
Tank's turn.
Does James White go to Japan at all?
I've never heard of him doing that, but that doesn't mean he doesn't. I wouldn't want to speak for him on
that's
that.
That's true.
I wouldn't want to speak for him on anything because, you know,
man speaks for himself.
Yeah,
he likes doing that. Yeah.
In I was listening to a Dividing Line on the way home from work yesterday.
Uh huh.
And he was talking about a debate that he was about to do with, or no, a discussion he was going to have with a Muslim, like a public forum discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Where they were going to talk about similarities and differences.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, if you're one of those people who, I can't remember his wording, but he was like, you know, if you want to disrupt things and believe that no Muslims are good people and all that kind of thing, you are not welcome, basically. Basically said, if you cause a problem, we will remove you.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, I wonder what that means. Like, I'm assuming they'll just have security, but...
Yeah, I really do love his heart for Islam, for the people of Islam, and his dedication to representing them accurately. It's just a very good example of, fighting for truth while still being compassionate. And it's awesome. Anything going on with you this week? Any interesting stuff? Just normal?
We're moving house, so...
Oh, yeah.
I think I might have talked about that. Yeah, so just a lot of... I mean, I had a huge deadline at work, which was always planned for yesterday and then got moved a day earlier at the start of the week, which wasn't helpful.
Oh.
But it basically ended up being yesterday anyway, because it just... Yeah, so... big deadline, and then I've also been trying to get my house sort of ready for photos for real estate listing, which just means, you know, tidying everything way tidier than you would ever have it when you were living in it, and buying things like colorful cushions and throw rugs and rubbish that you then have to try and work out how to make it look like it's been done by an interior designer rather than just by someone who has no idea what they're doing. So, if anyone's got any tips for how to, like, put a rug on the end of a bed so that it looks like something you'd see in a magazine, I'm all ears, because when I do it, it just looks like I dropped the rug on the bed.
Yep, and that'd be me,
not
too.
Not in a good way. Not in, like, a happy accident way. Just in, like, that looks like a mess. So, yeah. Just sort of late nights, because I've been either working on work or tidying rooms of the house and cleaning marks off walls with, we have these things. This is like a tech you should use that sounds really non-technical. They're called magic erasers, which
I don't know,
everyone's heard that term before, but they're for your walls and you just wet them and like just moisten them a little bit. You don't have to drench them. And then you just rub them backwards and forwards on the wall and it's like micro abrasion. So, it doesn't really rub the paint off. Well, it doesn't rub the paint off at all if you don't do it super, super hard.
Right.
But it just takes like scuff marks and stuff off the wall like they were never there. Super helpful, like saves so much time. If you think about how long it takes to paint two coats on a whole room, and you can just do this for half an hour, 45 minutes, and you're done. Anyway, that's like a tech you should use right in the intro part of the show.
There you go.
People are getting their money's worth this week.
We'll stick a link in that for that in the show notes. Just go to magiceraser.com.
We might even put a Wikipedia link to cleaning.
There you go. Just cleaning like solutions in the past in general. All right. So, we got a bunch of follow-up this week. Crazy amount of discussion in the episode discussion portion of the Slack. That was fun. Listener Zach from Twitter tweeted us, saying that he thinks the App Store reviews thing is pretty great since he is a developer himself, since people typically like put bad reviews because they think developers are notified of like bad reviews and so that they can comment on them. And now they actually can comment on them. They still don't get notified, but at least developers can now comment on those reviews. So.
And then there was a heck of a lot of follow-up on YNAB.
Yes, there was.
Which I commented on because I was like, why are we getting more follow-up on whether or not we should pay for budgeting software than on most episode discussions about serious topics of faith and life and technology? But anyway, whatever. Obviously, budgeting is important to people and that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Keenan in the Slack discovered many, many words that have the sound Z where an S is. So, you know, words like choose, nose, visible, just about any plural word and any word that ends with ism, use, miserable, close. Alex from Rugged Marriage threw in laser. So, I think I'm justified in my Tesla pronunciation.
Hang on, is laser not one of those words that Americans spell with a Z instead of a Z instead of an S?
Laser can be spelled either way, I think. Let me think about that.
Because it's like organization and stuff like that. You guys spell organization with a Z, but
that's true.
British and Australian English does it with an S.
Right. Laser with a Z is technically a misspelling of laser with an S.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah. Learn something new every day. And listener Christina in the Slack said she might consider getting YNAB, seeing that it's free for students for an entire year. And I completely forgot about that, and she's totally right. And if you are a student in college, definitely check that out. They just have like a, if you go to their FAQ on their pricing page, you can see, you know, you just got to email into a particular email address with like proof that you're a student and get it for a year. It's pretty great. Pretty friggin' great. So.
Nice. All right, let's hit the news.
And this is Tech You Should Know, where we take a few news stories from the past week and talk about them. Mozilla is shutting down its Connected Devices initiative. You may know Mozilla for its now declining web browser Firefox, but it also pursues other things, such as investing in emerging technologies like VR and Internet of Things. The Connected Devices initiative included products like Firefox OS, a mobile operating system designed to bring low-cost handsets to developing markets, as well as power commercial Internet of Things devices. They're now shifting their focus away from commercial products to emerging technologies, and they're laying off some people in the process.
Which, did you list the emerging technologies?
They didn't really specify. I mean, they've
did they list that? Sorry?
There's like VR. They were talking about VR stuff.
Oh my goodness. And everyone's going to get into VR, and then they're going to realize that you can only have maybe two big players, and then they're all going to have to get out of it.
But, you know, you got to have that competition at the beginning of that gold rush until you figure out like a standard. And
I guess so. Yeah. It just seems like if you're not already on that game, you're probably going to be a bit late to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe not. I don't know. Good on them. I like Mozilla. I use Firefox as my main browser still. I know a lot of people switched to Chrome ages ago. I don't really see the draw card. There's nothing that shouts to me that Chrome is better than Firefox. Mm-hmm. It is always sad when companies have to lay people off for whatever reason. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they come up with and what they can sort of push into that is new and different. Because for a long time, I guess they've just been the people who make Firefox.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, interested to see what happens from here on with them.
Mm-hmm. The Nintendo Switch will feature a paid online service that we might have mentioned before that will enable online multiplayer gaming and offer users a free classic game download each month. Nintendo President Tatsumi Kimishima went on record this past week saying the service will cost between 2,000 and 3,000 yen a year, putting it somewhere in the range of $20 US a year, which is really inexpensive compared to Xbox Live Gold and PlayStation Plus, which both come in at $60 a year. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty affordable. I mean, that's cheaper than my Netflix subscription for a year or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. 2 months of Netflix equals that pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's right. So, I don't know. Yeah, pretty keen for that. If I can somehow manage to convince my wife that it's a good idea to get the Switch in the first place.
Yes, yes. Fall to the dark side, Craig.
Nintendo is the light side.
Yeah,
Microsoft
actually,
is the dark side.
That's probably true. I feel like Nintendo is the bright, shiny, happy side of gaming.
Yeah. They don't really have any, like, I don't know. I don't see Nintendo as a serious player in terms of, like, intense gaming these days.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the last kind of, you know, edgy game that they brought out? I can't even think of one.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting. That's kind of typically
Goldeneye.
Been. I don't know. Yeah, Goldeneye. That's been a while.
Man, that was such a good game. That was so much fun.
Yeah. I remember playing it on, like, discovering it for the first time, like, just, like, the multiplayer version, and I didn't really understand it because I didn't really get to play it a whole lot, but, like, everyone raved about GoldenEye. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Cool.
Well, I remember switching from, you know, like, I remember when we sort of switched from Super Nintendo to Nintendo 64, and it was like, yeah, everyone would basically play, on Nintendo 64, you'd switch between Mario Kart, NBA Hang Time, and GoldenEye. It kind of was, and Zelda, I think, was on 64 as well. Mm-hmm. So you kind of pick what mood you're in, and those were the games that at least that my friends and I were sort of would gravitate towards. So it was pretty big for a while there.
Yeah. Dropbox's new document collaboration tool, Paper, has now been launched globally after being in a public beta phase since August. Paper is meant to compete directly with Google's Docs service, and yet is designed to play nice with both Microsoft and Google products, since many companies are already using them and Dropbox wants to get in on the action. I am excited for competition in this field.
Yeah?
Yep. Google Docs has not changed at all in, like, the past 5 years.
But what needs to change with it? As in, what improvements are you looking for?
Well, the problem is that it's a monopoly at the moment, and nobody else is as good as them. And sure. Google does not have great support for iOS for the devices I use. It's not great because it takes them forever to adopt new features and like new additions to the OS, especially like iPad features and that sort of thing. Plus, their layout's all janky and you know that kind of thing. So I don't have issues with Drive really, like with Google Docs and that sort of stuff really, but it'll be good to have some competition in the field so that like people keep up with current technologies, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I do like with Google how, I mean, because my email is through Google, I guess I will always gravitate towards their services just because it's easier to sign in once and then already be in my Google Drive and whatever. I don't know. Can you sign in through Dropbox? Can you have like a single sign in and add Dropbox permissions?
I'd have
to look into that. I don't know. Anyway, I don't think you can. I think Dropbox is a separate sign in. I don't think you can sort of connect it to your Gmail or whatever. So I don't know. It is good for competition though. There needs to be some other major player in that sort of online document editing sharing.
For sure. And like Box has launched something recently and there's like Quip does a thing that directly competes with Google Docs and and Apple has started trying to do their iWork online stuff, which is, you know, pretty good, but Google's still like the standard bearer. And that's all the tech you should know this week. If we missed something that you think we should have considered, tweet us at Tech Reformation. Tweet us.
Tweet us. And that brings us into Tech You Should Use, the part of the show where we talk about a particular technology. It might be an app or a physical object or something that we think is useful and we hope will be useful for you too. I'm going to talk this week about an app that I just discovered yesterday, actually. It's really simple and won't be a lengthy Tech You Should Use, but it's called AfterShip, and it's got a yellow icon with a box inside a speech bubble, basically. I think it's actually meant to be one of those sort of map locator things. And what this does is lets you add tracking numbers for packages, and then it tracks the package. It sort of adds a list of current packages that you might have coming from different places around the world and tells you all the tracking updates in the one app rather than having to go to the USPS site or the toll site or the Fastway site or whatever the company is that's operating as the courier service. So yeah, it's pretty helpful because it just means you can sort of track multiple things at once in one place. It gives you all the updates there in a little timeline thing, so you can kind of keep an eye on where things are at. And saves you time of having to go to different suppliers' websites to copy and paste tracking codes in there each time you want to check something, or go back and find an email and click a different link each time you want to check where it's up to. So
very nice. Very nice. Is this free?
It is free. It looks like it's available in both the US and Australia. So
okay. Very nice.
Probably the UK as well, I guess. Yep. So after ship.
I always wondered, how do they, like, do they charge for the apps? Or no, there is a pricing here. Oh, they have like a, it's like a friggin' subscription service. So like if you have a business that you buy like a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want lots and lots of things, I think you have to pay.
Oh my goodness. You can, like the enterprise option, you could do like up like 100,000 plus shipments a month. Like, oh my goodness, I can't even process that.
Imagine having a list of that on your phone and scrolling through.
Oh my goodness.
I think you can search them maybe, because you can give them a name and stuff when you set it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can label things, and I think you can put things into categories or whatever.
That would just be one person's job, like the entire month, just putting in shipment numbers and tracking them. Can you imagine
it's pretty
that
cool.
job?
You copy and paste the tracking number in, and then it auto-detects which service it's coming through.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a huge long list. Like, there's ones in here I've never heard of, like Delhivery. I'm guessing that's like an Indian thing in Delhi.
Okay. That makes sense. I was about to make fun of that. It's just a cool name. Yeah.
No. Like, I'm not making fun of it. I just think it's a cool name.
Oh, man.
But they've got such a long list. And then you can also add a title, which is optional. Or you can, I think you can, like, looks like there's a barcode scanner and things like that. So there's a whole bunch of options. But still pretty simple to use.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not for everyone, I guess. But if you've got a use for something like that, if you get if you do a lot of online shopping, or if you're running a business and you need to track 100,000 shipments a month, then check out AfterShip.
That's great. Solid tech you should use.
Yep.
If you have a tech you should use that you think that you would like to share with the listening audience, send us in, dig into that Voice Memos app in your phone. Record like a 2-minute thingy of just, hey, this is what this is. This is why you should use it. And send it in to us. Email us ask@techreformation.com. And you might get into the show. Our sponsor this week is Olive Tree, your theology library on the go. They're an app that lets you have various different translations, commentaries, that sort of stuff on your phone or iPad or computer or whatever you have, quite literally whatever device you have, unless it's like Symbian or something. There's lots of free options as far as downloading translations and commentaries, but they also have a lot of stuff for sale too online in their store. And I was looking around a little bit. I was looking at the IVP New Testament commentary series from InterVarsity Press that we reference in this episode, actually. And their price for the entire 20-volume set is $250. Now, if you use our code TECH for 20% off, you can get that for only $200, which is a ridiculously good deal. I was looking around at other places of, like, if you bought this in a hard copy, and, man, hardcover goes for, like, $400, and the lowest I've seen for paperback is, like, $290. So if you're looking for a good, inexpensive way of building your library of theology that you can cross-reference easily between commentaries or between translations, this software is incredibly flexible. Olive Tree is absolutely the way to go. And you don't have to buy the entire commentary series all in one. You can go a la carte too. So you could just pick the Matthew commentary or the, Colossians and Philemon commentary, or the idea of Olive Tree is to go a la carte, which they let you be able to do for a really good price. So check it out. Olivetree.com. You can download the apps there. Look around at their library. See if there's anything you'd like to get for yourself. And if you decide to buy anything, which you don't have to do, remember there's free stuff too. You can use our code for 20% off. That's tech for 20% off. And get yourself a deal on theology. Thank you to Olive Tree for sponsoring this week's Tech Reformation.
And now it's time for Theology from the Headlines, where we look at a current news story and talk about a little bit more in depth. And this week we are going to talk about something that is very current. It's to do with Donald Trump's recent decisions and sort of executive order that he's put in place that sort of is having a big impact around America in particular, but also it's kind of got international implications. It's causing a bit of angst for a lot of people and quite a bit of difficulty. So in a TechCrunch article entitled Tech Reacts to Trump's Immigration Ban, it basically sort of summarizes the issue by saying that President Donald Trump signed an executive order on Friday that temporarily halted the admission of refugees, indefinitely banned the admission of refugees from Syria, and stopped citizens of several Muslim-majority countries from entering the U.S. The American Civil Liberties Union has already filed a legal challenge to the order. The order is so sweeping that it includes any green card and visa holders from these countries. So if you were a citizen of these countries, Iran, Iraq, Syria, and Sudan, Libya, Yemen, and Somalia, and had the bad luck of being outside of the U.S. at the time the order went into effect, you're now barred from entering the country for at least the next 90 days. Unsurprisingly, that's already affecting the employees of many of the largest tech companies, which tend to draw from a global talent pool. So, yeah. Donald Trump has already done some good things since he's been in power, from what I understand, in terms of the abortion issue. I think he sort of did something towards defunding Planned Parenthood from a federal level or whatever. Did you hear about that, Derek?
I haven't been on Twitter, so I know nothing.
Okay. Now, well, I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly what the outcome of that was, but I think he did. He has started to sort of do some of that stuff, and that's why the whole, you know, Women's March thing, I think, was such a big push at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so Trump's sort of in some ways looking like there might be some promising things that come out of what we all think could actually be a terrible presidency potentially. But this one is one that I kind of would probably tend to side with the more progressive people on.
Yeah.
Barring refugees from entering the country, or even ones who, particularly ones who've already been cleared to be in the country. This seems like a really nasty and un-Christian move. But we can talk a bit more about that. What do you think about this, Derek? What's your sort of take on it right from the outset?
Okay. When you brought this up for as a topic this week, I think I said, quote, this is one of those topics I really don't want to cover, but I know that we need to. And yeah. That's still my opinion on this. I don't particularly like talking about politics in front of hundreds of people who think I know what I'm talking about. But we're going to do it anyway. We'll see how this goes.
We should just say at the outset, we're not politicians.
Yeah.
Which you would probably all be thankful for, because it means you can actually take what we say seriously, at least some of the time. But it also does mean that this is not politics itself is not our major field of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk, I think, probably more about, looking at it from a biblical worldview. What does this mean for us? How do we think about it? And I guess in what ways should we be getting involved, or those kinds of things, rather than sort of actually the what is the best political decision, or who's the best political party, and all those kinds of things.
Yeah, and I guess we should start off by saying exactly why this topic is popping up on a tech podcast. And the reason is because all of technology has talked about this week. Like, we have the article we have in the show notes where Tech reacts to Trump's immigration ban. There are dozens and dozens of tech, and maybe not dozens and dozens, but like a solid, like a
pretty significant number, a solid, like, pretty big companies,
20, 30, like huge companies have come out specifically against this and said, this is bad for our company. This is bad for technology. Like the backs of technology have been built off of immigrants. And doing this is bad. Now, I will say that my very first thought about what this was when the news first started coming out and people were talking about it on Facebook and Twitter was that people talked about this like this was a permanent thing. Like there was so much rage over this that it was like, immigrants are never going to come back into the United States. And I kind of got a bad, like, a spin from that, but this is just for 90 days, except for people from Syria. And
I guess like the question is, what's up with that Syria ban for longer than 90 days? Like, I read another article that was saying Donald Trump says that he has very deep feelings about what's going on in Syria. Here we go. It says, he also stressed that he has tremendous feelings for those involved in the crisis in Syria. And so, if that's true, why would you be rejecting genuine refugees from that country?
Yeah. Well, I guess the argument is that he can't tell which ones are refugees and which ones are terrorists and all that, which I don't agree with. I don't agree with.
Yeah.
But that would be the argument. But yeah, the idea for this executive order is to have it be in place until they figure out a better way of processing refugees and like sorting out and basically getting better security for the country. So this is like an emergency, like, halt everyone, go nowhere, let us figure out our crap. And then we'll pull this down and then y'all can come in and we'll deal with you hopefully in a more efficient and accurate way. But that does present many problems for people who are like, when refugees get a chance to get out of their country and go to another one, like they have like a day or two window in order to do it, or else they're stuck there for another 15 years, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, or until they die.
Like, or until they die,
life or death, and they have to leave right now. It's not just like, oh, we'll plan to go in 90 days.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this
is crazy.
So while this has a limited time frame, it affects an insane number of people who would normally be able to find refuge in America.
You're right. And it also affects people who have already been in America and gone home for some reason or left the country for some reason to then get back in and just get back to work. Like, so if they work for one of these tech companies, you know, if you've got a job at Google and you're, you know, that's your 9 to 5 and you can't rock up for work on Monday morning at 9 o'clock and you're not going to be there for 90 days, that's going to affect your employer. It may affect your employment with that company, even though it's not actually your fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just got really big implications. And I think if the main sort of idea or reason behind this is, as you said, it is, which is that they're just sort of trying to get things in place so that when they reopen the borders, they'll be able to process things efficiently. That's an admirable, like I would say from the outset, that's an admirable desire to want to have efficient processes in place.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and this is something that, you know, where, I mean, another podcast that I was listening to this week, kind of tongue in cheek, but basically said that America was the best country in the world because it was, you know, it's not racist and there's a whole bunch of, it's like a melting pot of different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of like, well, that's not unique to America. Like Australia is, there's, and England is as well. Like, but there's country, like Australia, for example, has had a huge, sort of development, like it's been a huge part of our development over the years. People from other cultures, from Asian countries, from sort of Italy and Greece and those European countries,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's a multicultural country. It just is. There's no getting around that. But in the last sort of 10 to 15 years, Australia has really not done the right thing by refugees in so far that we actually have a system where people try and come to Australia in boats, usually from Indonesia. So they might come from anywhere in the world. They get themselves to Indonesia, but then they want to get to a economically more stable country or whatever, you know, whatever their desire is to come to Australia, but that's what they want to do. So then they get in literally like a little wooden boat from Indonesia and try and do the trip across to Australia. And they end up in all sorts of trouble and people drown. And so they've used all their money to get just to that point and they're trying to get here and then they're putting themselves in danger. But then when they get picked up by Australian customs vessels, they essentially get, my understanding of it is, and I've known quite a few people who sort of advocate for people in this situation, they actually get taken to these things called detention centers, which is basically like a prison almost on an island, or in the outback somewhere, sort of, you know, they're not in the middle of a city, it's sort of out further, and you're basically locked up while they process you, as in, you know, there's no... You don't just sort of get slotted into a community or into a government housing or something. You just sort of get detained while they process you. But that processing can take a super long time to the point where it becomes basically a human rights issue that we're locking people up without cause or without, you know, any sort of time frame on when they'll be released and all this kind of thing. So there are really sensitive sort of things around this issue. I don't think immigration in this world that we're currently living in with the history, recent history of terror attacks and stuff, immigration is never going to be a simple, straightforward aspect of politics, I guess.
Yeah.
But there are certainly things that I know that my country has not handled well recently. And so I guess what I'm saying is that I'd hate to see America doing that same thing and kind of flicking that switch of, well, they could all, you know, refugees could all be terrorists. And so we need to sort of shut the borders and make it a big, sort of almost criminal activity to try and enter America.
Yeah.
That's kind of worrying to me, but.
Indeed. And fortunately that doesn't seem to be the goal of this again, but yeah, that would obviously be bad.
Yeah, if it's not the goal, that's fine. I guess the thing is, though, how does the outworking of it happen? Because I think, you know, it's the trouble is when you get large numbers coming in, it is hard to get your processes efficient enough to handle the influx of new people who are people in need. They're not people who usually refugees don't necessarily have an uncle or an auntie they can go and stay with, or they might do, but that's certainly not the case for everyone. And so there is an issue of how do you deal with that practically on a practical level? What, you know, in what way can those people be supported and assisted as they sort of get their feet on the ground and try and build a life in for themselves and their families in the new country that they've moved to? And I think that's actually one of the areas where, you know, the tech companies, so like, you know, it's good to see that the CEO of Amazon, for example, in another article, came out and said, the order is one that they don't support. And he's basically saying that they're working with their legal team to see if there's anything they can do, particularly for their employees who might be caught up in the middle of it. It is good to see that these tech companies are, sort of saying, hey, we get a lot of our our talent from a global talent pool. So it's concerning to see this kind of thing shut down. But I think this one of the sort of things that reminded me of is that tech companies shouldn't be the only ones shouting about this, or at least the only ones willing to do something about it, I guess, is mm-hmm. more to the point. And neither should the Liberals, who just want to jump on any cause that comes along,
right?
And pretend that they've always been the most passionate people about that cause.
Mm-hmm.
It is an issue, like the issue of refugees coming into a developed, you know, a sort of first world country, if you want to use that term,
mm-hmm.
Is one that the church really needs to play a role in, mm-hmm. Without it just becoming sort of a social justice gospel watered down, community center only type situation, which can also happen if we're not careful. So,
right. Right. Yeah. And I mean, this is really a human issue, not just a tech enterprise issue. This falls into the idea of loving our neighbor, you know, in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and, like helping those in need is something that we want to definitely be a part of. And this makes it difficult. Our church is, right now working on getting a refugee family in the area, like supporting one. And this was in the process before this thing came out before this executive order was issued. And now it looks like it's going to be difficult, even though their country was not on the list of country. I think they're coming from Congo, which isn't on the list. But still may make things difficult was what the organization that they're coming through was saying. So we'll see what happens. I guess we need to pray for the people who are currently affected by this and pray for our leaders that they find a solution much sooner than 90 days. And if you have the power to, you know, influence the people in that area, of the White House, then, you know, by all means work on that. But anyway.
Is there a way that tech could play a role in processing a refugee? I mean, I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
Obviously, it would rely on tech in some way, but...
Well, we just need to... All we need to do, Craig, is put a little chip with the number, like, 666, like, just stamped on the processor and just put that in people's foreheads, and, you know, then we can just scan them.
People will be okay with that, I'm sure, and especially if the first people that we try and do that to is people coming into the country from somewhere else.
Exactly.
They won't see that as racist at all.
Yep. Just spur them end times along. No, I don't know. This is such a very, again, since we aren't experts on this topic, and it's such a nuanced issue. I'm still learning about the process of immigration and taking on refugees. I've learned a lot the past couple of weeks just because of what our church has been working on. And I feel like it's just a very base knowledge of what's going on.
Sure.
So all I feel like I can do right now is just pray and, pray for these people and pray that this works out for the greater glory of God. And yeah, kind of all I got.
Yeah. I think prayer is probably the biggest thing we can do. Being willing to offer practical assistance if you have people in your area, in your life, or in your community who you know of, who need that help, obviously is also something that the church can do. Protesting on this issue, I don't know. I'm not usually a big person, a big, you know, protester type person
mm-hmm.
when it comes to like public protests.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly if this is something that's going to continue, I don't really think it's a good idea, even with the background knowledge that we have or that we've spoken about in terms of where it's coming from. I just think there's other ways they could handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But even all of that being said, I think, there's, you know, yeah, I think this is something that certainly if it's going to be drawn out, is worthy of Christians speaking up on publicly.
Mm-hmm.
for more, I guess, for a bit more discussion of how we could use technology to help with the refugee crisis, you could look back to episode 49 of Tech Reformation, which is entitled Caring for Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
So we did do a sort of a discussion, I think it was just Tank and I that week, about a similar sort of topic. But yeah, I guess it's important to remember that, you know, these people aren't, you know, it's only by the grace of God that we don't live in a situation where we need to flee for our lives. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that, you know, there's nothing that we've done that earns us safety in that way. And Jesus himself, you know, didn't have a place to rest his head at times and would have to flee when he was young with his parents and stuff like that. So, you know, he knows the situation that these people are in. And so certainly, yeah, he can empathize, I'm sure. And so, like you said, prayer, is probably the most powerful thing that we can do, mm-hmm. In this kind of situation, because it's not likely that Donald Trump's going to listen to this episode of Tech Reformation.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
Probably not. I mean, if you are, buddy, well, good to see you. Thanks for listening. why don't you need to, actually, I'm not sure I want him to tweet us out. I don't know.
No.
That's probably not a good ultimate.
Probably not a good marketing campaign.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is a big fan of ours. Oh.
We'll just avoid that. But anyway, anything else on this?
Yeah, I think it might just be helpful to read a little excerpt from the IVP New Testament commentary. Which kind of speaks to this issue, not to the Trump issue, obviously, but to the issue that we're talking about more broadly. It says that some Christians in the West act as if an easy life were their divine right, as if to imply that suffering Christians elsewhere lack faith or virtue. Yet from its very beginning, the story of Jesus challenges such a premise. Of the millions of refugees and other impoverished people throughout the world, some are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Many others have never yet heard how much he loves them. Reports of hundreds of thousands of civilians being tortured or slaughtered each year for political, ethnic, or religious reasons can inoculate us against the reality of the human pain involved, but first-hand accounts from some of my closest African friends have brought the tragedy of this plight home to me. Many could resonate with the story of Jesus the refugee who identified with their suffering. Indeed, Western Christians should not be so arrogant as to think that we could never face such affliction ourselves. In due time, Christians in all nations will receive their share of hardship. So I don't know what you think about that. kind of a random thing to throw in there, but
yeah,
I guess that just sort of follows on from what I was saying, that this is something that we need to sort of bring before the Lord and be thankful for the way that he has that he blesses us and allows us to live in relative peace, I guess. And then just to plead for the refugees in other countries in terms of their physical safety, but also spiritually that they would be drawn to faith in God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely something to sort of keep an eye on in terms of the issue more broadly. And let's just see, I guess, how's this going to play out? How long is this thing going to last? Will it be 90 days? Will it be shorter than that? Will it be longer than that? And I guess when image of God, creation, you know, when humans, sort of start to get downtrodden or, neglected by big governments, then that's when, probably the church needs to stand up and have a clear voice as to, you know, what the biblical worldview is on this, and the fact that God values each person, no matter what country they were born in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So, Craig, do Do you have any suggestions for the listener audience that they might like to pick up or use or listen to or whatever?
Sure. I'll just do music again. It's the easiest thing, let's be honest.
The listeners love music.
That's right. I don't know if they'll love this. It's something that I haven't listened to for ages. I've mentioned before that when I was sort of for a long time through high school and whatever, I was big into MXPX.
Mm-hmm.
This week, I listened to the Mike Herrera podcast, and he was talking about the fact that they're doing some shows with Slick Shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of Slick Shoes?
No.
No. So, Slick Shoes were another Christian punk band that were around at the same sort of time as MXPX have kept going the whole time, but Slick Shoes were kind of around in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then sort of disbanded or didn't do anything for a long time. They were on Tooth and Nail Records, so same as a lot of the other bands at that time. I've got two of their albums, Wake Up Screaming and Self-Titled. And so when I was listening to that episode, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember sort of liking them. So I put their CDs in the cart, which was kind of a strange thing, putting a CD in a CD player. I haven't done that for a while, but put their CDs in on the way to work this week and had a listen. And I was like, yeah, occasionally it's like, oh, that's really fast and loud and abrasive. But most of the time, I really enjoyed it and I actually found myself remembering the lyrics and all that kind of thing. So it was a good bit of nostalgia for me, but also I was just kind of reminded of the fact that they actually had some pretty sort of solid Christian lyrics in some of their songs were fairly obvious in terms of what they were talking about, who they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you don't mind fast, loud punk music, then check out Slick Shoes. They're pretty fun.
Cool. If you would like to connect with us, you can join our Slack team at slack.techreformation.com. There's a link there to sign up, and once you're signed up, there's a link there to go directly to the Slack. So check that out. Leave us some feedback.
And you can head to our website, techreformation.com, to search for past shows and topics. Just use the tags, and hopefully you'll find something there that interests you.
Share us with a friend. That's the best way to get the show spread around the internet, the webverse, universe. I'm coming up with the bad web-verse. Nouns for the
what
for
is the webverse?
Remember, there was like an XKCD comic like a while back that there were all kinds of various pairings of describing the internet. Let me see if I can. I think I found it.
Yay!
So there's like here. I'll send it to you. In the Slack. Let's see, which one do we want to use? We could use the worldwide net or sphere or tubes or blag or web.
I was always a fan of the intertubes.
Yep. Inner tubes. Inner tubes is fun. Bloga tubes. Web sphere.
Web-sphere.
So anyway, I'll put that link in the show notes too, just like a little bit right below the I don't know where I'm going. I'll put that as my reco this week. This
yeah,
particular
put it as a
reco. Comment.
Try out some new names for the internet.
Yeah, try out some new names for the internet. But yeah, share us with a friend. Help spread us around the interblag. And we'll get into more people's ears that way. This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.